Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Bond hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 54. Brian Shackman and John Senecal here. A quick rundown of what we're going to talk about today. We'll put a ribbon on the Red Sox season. Obviously, disappointment for Red Sox fans. And in some ways, it's like...
Well, it depends on how you look at it, Brian. Is it a disappointment?
I was disappointed.
Okay,
a lot of people
good.
Are telling me...
I'm glad
me,
you were, because right. I know some people weren't disappointed.
Well, some people, because what? They're like, we came this far?
Yes, exactly.
And we'll get into that whole mindset, but I was disappointed. In fact, I was really bummed that we didn't have more baseball to look forward to. So we'll put a ribbon on the Red Sox season. We'll talk a little bit about the Yankees. You know, we haven't talked much about the dismissal of the coaches, but also the story about Gerrit Cole being a little sensitive about something Brett Gardner was doing in the clubhouse. We'll do a quick World Series preview. We won't preview it as much as give our takes on what's going to happen. And then John, of course, has his nugget of the week for you. All right, so let's start with the Red Sox. And sort of, I talked about this off camera a little bit. I mean, my calculation might not be perfect, but after that Nate Eovaldi non-called third strike, which again, I'm okay with human error. I live by the sword, die by the sword. So I'm not saying like, oh my gosh,
yeah, the strike zone, that wasn't the only pitch.
No.
Close
but
or not.
After that, the Red Sox, that was in game
four. Yep.
They were outscored 21-1.
Since after that pitch.
After that pitch. It was 2-2 in that game. They would have gotten out of the inning. And so that game ended 9-2. So they got 7 runs, then 9 in the next, and 5 in the final. So I'm no math major, but that's 21. And the Red Sox only scored 1 run in game 5 and 0 runs in game 6. So, I mean, to me...
And that's one game in each park. That's one at Fenway.
I could say that's karma. Like, I feel like part of me likes to believe it is. And other people just say, listen, Houston is unconscious. They don't get down, and they're that good. And
they can hit. They can flat out hit.
That DH.
Yeah, they can flat out hit. Well, also, I mean, for Houston, they had two guys step up huge. I mean, come on, Valdez and Garcia, I mean, basically save their season.
Or did the Red Sox just... crap their pants.
Well, I mean, the Red Sox, you know, when you think about it, Brian, I mean, they basically shot their load in the first couple games. When you think about it. I mean,
why couldn't they sustain it, I guess, is my point.
Well, I mean, because, you know, Kiki Hernandez was hitting unconsciously, and then all of a sudden he just stopped hitting. I mean, he came back to earth.
Why couldn't they sustain it? I guess, you know, my disappointment, some people, so here's the core argument by a lot of people, is like, they were predicted to win like 82 games, not more than 85. They won... you know, 90 plus games, 92, and they beat the Yankees. They ended the Yankees season, which right. for a lot, and they also beat the Rays, who won 100 games. That's the classic argument that you should be grateful for what happened. And I get it, because you know what? They weren't that good a team, and they overachieved, and I get it. But once you're there, once you're two wins away from making the World Series,
right.
why would you feel good about that? Because to me, once you get to the World Series, anything can happen. And even though the Dodgers are a better team, the Braves is be pretty even, anything can happen. So my disappointment, honestly, selfishly, is from a pure viewer perspective. Like, I looked forward to games. Like, I hadn't looked forward to baseball games.
You want your team to keep winning and you want to watch more baseball.
Or games that I care about. Like, right. I'll watch, you know, it'll be more of a background thing, and I'll watch the Dodgers and the Astros. I mean, the Braves and the Astros, projecting wishful thinking. I mean, and I want to talk about that matchup.
It's not exactly
later.
The biggest marquee matchup.
It's the worst thing that Major League Baseball could have had.
So you'll argue that, obviously, Major League Baseball wasn't trying to grease the gears for the Red Sox.
Well,
to
you
get in
said
there.
To me off camera all the time that the fix was in. When the Dodgers came, won that one game and the Red Sox were up 2-1, that was your line. The fix is in. The fix is in.
It sounds better, right?
But I mean, it's not.
Who at the MLB office wants the Astros to win the World Series?
Nobody.
And
arguably,
they'd love the Braves to win it, right? But these two teams in it, there's a chance that the Astros can win it.
Sure. And
they don't want that to happen.
They're the better team. And we'll preview that later. You know, and so how did you look at the Red Sox sort of implosion at the end? Were the Houston just a better team?
Well, listen, it came down to, they hit the ball. Houston hit the ball basically out. They hit the ball towards
Have you
the
heard of Jordan
games.
Alvarez? I
yes.
never heard of the guy.
He's been a big prospect. He was hurt. He was hurt, so he missed. He missed most of, was it last season or the season before that? But he was a big prospect. He hit a lot in the postseason his rookie year. His baseball card is pretty valuable. I know that.
That guy's incredible.
Yeah, he can hit. He's not just a big dude. He can cover the plate. And obviously, look, I mean, he got Chris Sale gave up 3 hits, right? 3 to him. Wasn't it?
Yep.
That's what it was. 6 innings, 3 hits, and the 3 hits were to him. Now, a lot of people would argue that he shouldn't have been pitching to him in that circumstance.
Well, he shouldn't have come out that last time. Once he walked Altuve, he should have been pulled from the game.
Right.
Some say he shouldn't have started the inning. That's fine. Some say he should have stayed in the inning. I think once he walks Altuve, just get
so
him.
So why is he still in the game?
I don't
now,
know.
Given the way the postseason has been going, I mean, the
third
hook
time
is,
around thing.
The hook is so tight. The hook is so tight. Garcia pitched what? He gave up 1 hit in 6 innings, and they yanked him.
I think I think that is an example of the downside of a player's manager. Because I think that Sale, he feels that he earned it. Sale said, I got it. And he let him go out there and get it. And afterward, if it worked out, he could have been said, you know, listen, I believe in my guy.
History would say, stick with him. He's your ace regardless of when he's coming back, right? But the way the postseason going, the way the baseball has been going, the whole pitching philosophy is just whacked.
Right.
It is crazy. I've never seen it like it.
It's
nuts. So, I mean, you got to go, I guess. You have to play the
you
odds.
Don't have to.
Have to
but
play
you
the
gotta,
odds
you're,
at that
you're
point.
You're potentially
you have to pull him.
Alienating yourself with your biggest pitching star.
Well, what about the whole Erod thing, you know, when he's checking his watch and then he pulls him aside.
Well,
on camera, obviously, it wasn't down in the dugout. Everyone saw it. And he gets on, you know, puts his arm around him. Who knows what he said to him. But, I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, Erod, first of all, I'll just say quickly, I mean, I was surprised that he's yelling at him from the dugout and sort of showing him up. But I think it's different. I think Erod's not as big a star. And I do think that Cora has this much more influence over the younger Latin players. And so I think that, and he wanted to diffuse the potential bulletin board material by the Astros, which everyone on the Red Sox agreed with.
Right.
So the clubhouse might be split on what you should have done with Sale. I don't think the clubhouse was split on not wanting to stoke the Astros.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's sort of my hot take on that. But I do think those decisions where if they work out, you know, Cora can say, you know, I believed in my guy and I trusted him. And it just did not work out. And I will say that talent-wise, top to bottom, the Astros were better. They're a better team. They're a better team than the Boston Red Sox. Now, do I think that that's going to be the way moving forward? I think the way Chaim Bloom is building this team, I think they need pitching, obviously. But I think that the Sox are much closer to being better than the Astros than the Yankees are.
The Astros hit. The Red Sox stopped hitting. I mean, Renfro didn't hit for you. You needed him to hit.
He was terrible.
He
was bad in the field
all season.
Yeah, he ran out of gas.
Surprisingly, bum ankle Martinez played very well. He hit the ball very well. But
But but his slowness on the base paths
doesn't help.
I think it hurt him. I think he could have gotten home on one and could have gotten a third on another.
And obviously, Schwarber killed you. He did not help you defensively at all. I mean, regardless of how he played to the crowd and he bowed and did his best Kevin Millar and all that could do.
No, there was a drop ball at first base.
He was not your answer at first base. And he was not a good hitter in the postseason either. He had that one hit, basically. He had the big grand slam where you guys basically did everything in the one inning. But getting back to the whole Red Sox, expectations and, you know, the pundits and all that, I'm really tired of the whole whining of some of the Red Sox fans. I'm not saying you, Brian, but I'm tired of it because, stop gauging your season on what other people are exposed to are saying you should be.
So what is your point? They're whining?
The point is in the last 16 years, you've won 4 World Series, right?
Shut your mouth.
Stop acting like you're a bad organization. Stop acting like you are pre-2004, right?
Right.
This is baseball, all right? I believe in ghosts, man. You could have broke the curse, right? You're playing better. Stop acting like you're a second-rate team and expect more.
I'm tired of
the whole playing with house money. Oh, I'm just glad we're playing. Yeah. Nobody expected this. Stop. Stop. You should be winning every year. You're a Boston team.
Yeah.
You're a marquee franchise.
The expectation should be the same as
every
it is with the
year.
Yankees.
And I'm tired of it because the Yankees go out there and they're like, oh, Yankees are too this or too that because they expect to win every year. You're damn right you should win every year.
Right. So the Yankees are underachieving, but somehow we make it that the Red Sox are overachieving.
Right. It's ridiculous.
I think it's a completely valid argument.
It's ridiculous.
The one thing I will say, because I want to get on to the Gerrit Cole story and then to the World Series, is that I've been going to Fenway every year since probably 2002 or 2003. And this environment in the playoffs was as good, I would say maybe 13 was different because after the marathon bombings, there was an energy. The team was not good enough to win the World Series. But because of the marathon bombings, it felt really intense.
Right.
And then obviously 04. But outside of 04 and 13.
Better than the dirtbags, huh?
Yeah. I just feel like the energy, and you know what it is? I mean, I was in the bleachers for a couple of these playoff games. A lot of it is just younger. Like, it was less tourists, or the tourists were younger because it was a bunch of college. It was like a couple thousand college kids just hammered.
Listen, maybe it's also, Brian, that, you've grown your fan base more, too. And these guys, these younger guys, are the ones that were watching in 04. And they're the 25 and 26-year-olds now that are out there spending the money, going to the games, and getting crazy.
That's a really good point. I mean,
they're not the ones that are saying, oh, I'm just glad that we're in the postseason. Yeah.
I mean,
they're out there getting crazy.
Yeah. The high net worth fans who come in from their, from Concord and Dover and Wellesley or whatever, and sit in their fancy seats and don't even cheer. And one thing I hate is, like, those people, they stare at you like you're an alien. My wife cheers, and her voice is grating.
Yeah.
But like she's a fan.
You can tell
cheers.
She's a fan.
And then people look at her like, what are you doing? I was like, first of all, what are you doing? And don't look at my wife that way. There's two ways not to look at my wife.
Annoying,
you don't look at my wife as if you want to have, make out with her. And you don't want to look at her as if she's crazy. Because she's a fan and she wants to cheer. And it drives me nuts that people think it's weird to cheer. But anyway, I just want to say,
video after video of these idiots punching each other out in the stands? Your wife is the least of anybody's worries.
Seriously.
You know what I mean?
Seriously. But anyway, I thought...
With the fan thing, I'm tired of going to Yankee Stadium or turning it on TV and looking at these couches behind home plate with nobody in them.
The Yankee Stadium, I think, was really poorly planned. But, it's neither here nor there. The environment at Fenway was great, and we loved it, and we hope it continues even with the regular season next year. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 54 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. So I read the story over the weekend about Gerrit Cole being, he says he's just a cool customer, but obviously Brett Gardner, I think, was making a little fun of him in the clubhouse about, not being able to use spider tack, and Cole lost his
I wonder how that, like, went down. I picture like Gardner running across the clubhouse like with like a bunch of crap on a hat, doing a monkey dance or something. Like, oh, look at me, I'm Gerrit Cole.
Right.
Oh,
and Cole, like, jumping in front of him and saying, cut that out, man.
Or did he go say, hey, Gerrit, here, catch. And he just, like, whipped it and hit, like, a wall over there. And he's like, oh, crap. And I want to know how that went down. Because, first of all, like, I mean, Gardner is not a big dude, but he's jacked.
I wouldn't mess with him.
He's like a cornerback, He's one of those. But Gerrit Cole is a big guy. But Gerrit Cole seems like he's the dude that, like, if you're going to like a wedding, nobody approaches him to hang out with him. He just kind of sits up there in the corner and has his few drinks, and then his wife tries to get him out on the dance floor.
Right.
He goes out for one and then he's gone.
But why do these stars have such thin skin? I mean, Gardner's not a guy, I guess, is looking to like, he's, first of all, he's the only one in that clubhouse who's won a World Series with the Yankees. So, and he's got credibility, but like, he's not trying to tear down Gerrit Cole. And to me, like, he was trying to do, and I don't like Brett Gardner. I do not like him.
Yeah.
But what I say, he was trying to do what exactly I think the Yankees needed.
Like, make light.
Have a little personality. Right. Like, interact in a different way. Like, I think the Yankees are so, it's like the old Red Sox 26, you know, 26 people, 26 cabs. Like, it feels like there's not a lot of togetherness. Like, he should be able to razz a teammate,
yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, especially him. He's the veteran. It's funny because when I was, you know, we were talking about this that story offline, I saw another one this morning, which was interesting, and it was regarding Joey Gallo, right? And there was an article about how Gallo's weird because he has to lay out his uniform and put it out like precisely.
Like mommy with the clothes at
and
school.
And if it doesn't go on him the right way, he'll take his whole uniform off before the game.
So it's like an OCD kind of
thing. Put it back on. Yeah. And basically saying, you know, the guy is like, he's just weird. Like, he's not fit to be in like the Yankee clubhouse or whatever. And then Gallo actually took the story and retweeted it and wrote, me, .. literally gets dressed media. Yup, that's why he sucks. So, I mean, at least, again, like, he's having fun with it. But, yeah. I mean, listen, it can't be easy to be a guy like Joey Gallo playing in New York, right?
No, and to play that poorly. Like, to me, to be an Italian-American, you go in there, you could be a hero. I like Joey Gallo.
Yeah.
I liked him with Texas. I know he strikes out a lot, but I think the pressure...
He might not be the right fit for that environment.
Here's the funny thing people don't understand about playing New York and Boston. If you don't like it, you can do what Benintendi, like, go to Kansas City. You'll make a lot of money.
Right.
You'll be in relative anonymity, and you won't have that kind of pressure. And you can make the same amount of money. Like,
right.
You can arbitration doesn't factor in geography, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think the players who love it, like Kike, as you said many times and have reminded me since, Boston would love him. He's the kind of guy that obviously embraces it. And thrives on it.
Sucks up to the light.
Right. And there are some people who just can't handle it. New York and Boston are totally different than, I would argue, even more than LA.
Yeah.
Because LA is so big and just dispersed.
Right.
That it's like, in Boston, there's like 20 bars and everyone goes to them. You know, like in LA, you got to drive 30 minutes to go to a second bar.
I feel like when Doug was talking about, I feel there's a little more fair weather fans out in LA.
I think so. I mean, the way I chide my sister, they arrive in the second and they leave in the seventh.
Well, you saw the picture they were putting up, like before they came back and won the game against the Braves, where they were like half the stadium was gone.
Yeah.
They were all driving out. And
it is nice to go to a ball game where it's 9 at night and 75 degrees. So, I mean, I will say, like, any time of year, it's just incredible.
Weird, though. You think San Diego would be that way, but I've been to a game in San Diego.
Got
where
cool.
Oh my God, dude. Like,
well, the breeze is an issue, right?
Yeah, I literally like walking to the stadium, I was like, oh, it's great. And then you get in and it's like, you know, you're hiking up Mount Washington or something. And the next thing you know, you're like, you got icicles on your ear and you're going to the fan shop to get a freaking
sweatshirt.
That's
really funny. Well, that's how they sell sweatshirts, I guess. Yeah. Let's talk about the World Series real quick. Obviously, you have Braves against Houston. It was put to me, I think it's, you know, the Major League Baseball, I think, doesn't want either team to win because
I'm just glad the Red Sox aren't in it, so I don't have to listen to the whole destiny team. Right, anyways.
Well, it would have been like that. I probably would have been.
It would have been. It would have been the biggest fanboy thing
ever. I think
ever.
If they were in it, I would have definitely dropped some sort of team of destiny thing on you. So I would have been part
all right,
of that.
Braves angst. Astros. The
Here's
least,
the thing. The league doesn't want the Braves to win either. They took the All-Star game away from them. I mean, and then you have Houston, which is the symbol of cheating in sports. Like, this is an awful World Series for Major League Baseball.
The
and then they're going to go from one of these two teams
to a work stoppage. So the only thing the Braves have got going for them, right, is they haven't been in a World Series since 1999 when they got swept by the Yankees.
Right.
And Freddie Freeman.
Who everyone seems to love.
Everybody loves Freddie Freeman, who's a free agent. I can't believe it. And he's 32 years old. He just turned 32. So Freddie, come to New York and play first base for a couple years.
He's
going to want a five-year deal, I bet. And that makes him 37 at the end of his contract.
Who's the dude for, would you rather have Freddie or Correa?
You could probably get both of them, I'd imagine. I mean, listen, here's the other thing. The whole money thing, the Dodgers spend more money than anyone, right?
Sure, by a lot.
By a lot, all right? And it doesn't work for them. But you know what? People are bitching in New York online and in the media that they got to just start ponying up and just start spending money. If you got the money, spend it. Is it that big of a deal to lose if you're the Yankees or whoever, like on some of these zillionaire owners, to lose 14, 15, 20 million on the back end? Especially the Yankees. You can recoup that in freaking beer sales in a week.
What I would argue is that philosophy is part of the Yankees' problem right now, is that they do have to think about chemistry. I think they need more guys coming up through the system who know each other and care about each other. So I think
that will be the argument. Like, they'll say go out and get a catcher, but they'll say keep Austin Wells. They'll say go out and get a shortstop. They'll say wait for Anthony Volpe because they came up together.
Only if those guys are good enough. My point is, like, if they're good enough, if they're
not
good
enough.
Well, I just think that if you continue to just, then you're getting back into that 1980s, you know, Dave Winfield era, which I know they won more regular season games.
Bye-bye, Balboni.
Well, it's just that they constructed these teams because, you know, George wanted to win. And
the year
by
years.
It just didn't work. You know, so, I mean, I think, you know.
But at the same time, like, can you go out and suck up a contract for a couple years to hopefully try, like a Max Scherzer. Say if Max Scherzer had a couple more years on his deal and you were going to try, had to pay him $20 million over the next 2 years, right? Or if you think you can get three more years out of Max Scherzer at $20 million and go sign him.
I don't know, then you look at the roster of the Astros. I mean, that Jordan Alvarez guy is 24 years old.
Right.
I mean, the ages of these guys, I mean, you think about it. Luis Garcia is 24. I mean, name any guy on that thing outside of Zach Greinke, right? I mean, they're
all
young.
Even
really
Bregman's
young
because he came
really
up
good.
Young.
Even Altuve is only 31. Bregman's 27. Correa's 27. I mean,
Brantley is the oldest. He's like 34, 35.
Yeah, and then Gurriel is 37 years old.
Well, yeah, Gurriel was like a 32-year-old rookie, though.
Right. But I mean, my point is that they have a better mix. And they might even have a better mix than the
Braves
are
doing it without Acuna, too.
Which is amazing.
And no Soler. Now, my son will argue, oh, Soler's not that great. But if you look at Soler's numbers since they got him, he turned that team around. He turned it around. He solidified that lineup.
So quickly, what do you think is going to happen?
Honestly, I think it's going to be a good series. I think it's going to go the distance because I think the Braves are just scrappy enough. I think they're just scrappy enough. Now, I don't think it's going to help him. Darno looks like he's a little bit injured. I think what, you know, everybody's hurt right now.
Right.
Everybody's hurt right now. But I think they're going to hit each other. They're going to hit at each other. The pitching's going to be a little suspect. Like, it is what it is. But I think it'll go seven, but I hate to say it, but I think the Astros are going to win, dude. I want the Braves to win, but I really feel like the Astros are going to win just because they're going to be like, oh, look, we did it without cheating.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think that although someone
said Carlos Correa will get his $40 million
deal. Something they cheated in the ALCS. Here's the deal. I think that the Astros are going to win it, and I don't think it's going to go seven. I think
five.
I mean, maybe it's just because they spanked the Red Sox in those last three games. I think whatever adversity
they
face.
And they got home field.
Whatever adversity they face, they've seemed to overcome it. So I think five is definitely possible, and six for sure. It does not go seven, in my opinion. And I think I'm rooting for the Braves, but you know, I mean, I just don't. I've always been bored by the Braves organization, so maybe that's just from the 90s when they only won one World Series in the 90s when they had like what 10 or something in a row division titles.
Yeah, it's 100,000 people in the South and Mattress Mack watching this World Series.
What do you got for your nugget?
All right, so we're gonna. I saw a story this morning online, and it was about a miniseries that Netflix is going to make, and Jamie Lee Curtis is producing it, and it has to do with the person who invented the high five. It was the first ever high five. Now, interesting enough, his name is Glenn Burke, and he was also the first openly gay player in Major League Baseball, and they said it ruined his career. Now, this is back.
That he was gay or the high five ruined his career?
That he came out as gay.
Oh, he did. I don't know this guy.
Neither did I. All right? Now, we could go and talk about this forever, but this is how I want to loop this back in. So I started reading about this Glenn Burke guy, right? And there's going to be a miniseries coming out on Netflix called The Outfielder. And he was 19 years old in 1977, and he came up with the Dodgers. And wait, not the Dodgers, the Braves. And he was playing on... Dodgers. He was playing on the Dodgers as a 19-year-old, and Dusty Baker hit his 30th home run of the season. Dusty Baker... And he gave him a high five, and that was supposedly the first recorded high five.
Really?
Yeah.
So he just put his hand up?
I guess when he crossed the plate, he jumped, and they gave him a high five.
How do you, like, prove that? That's just crazy.
All right, so that got me thinking, right? And I was like, that's weird, right? Like, how do you prove? Like, there's got to be, like, you have to have video proof of it, right? So now I was thinking, like, oh, there's some weird stuff. Like, now we got a little tie-in with the World Series, Dusty Baker. And I'm thinking to myself, that's some weird stuff. So I was like, you know what else is annoying and I can't stand it is the wave.
Oh, see, I like it.
All right. Wave drives me nuts. All right?
Anything that's not purist, you hate.
No.
Let's just say
it's just like, all right.
The fact that it still exists at Fenway Park is funny.
What drives me nuts about the wave is when they try to do it at a stadium when there's like 1,100 people in it. And it's like,
the, first of all, the you can hate it.
The concession guy is trying to get on it, and there's like a mascot, and they're bringing people out of the front office trying to get down there so they can make it look like it's wave.
You're so grumpy in your 40s. What are you going to do?
Wait
be
for
like
there
to
be
60s?
Some fans in the stands right, to do fine. The wave. All right, fine. Anyway, so what's the wave, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about the wave.
Where did it start?
It started by this guy named Crazy George Henderson. Now, that's crazy with a K. Now, Crazy George Henderson, born in 1944, went to Cal State San Jose, and he was a cheerleader. And after he went to San Jose, he was working as a teacher in the 70s, and he got a job working for the Golden Seals of the NHL in California. Mm-hmm. And everybody loved him. He was going nuts, and the crowds were so loud, and they were playing against Boston Bruins at the time, and the Boston Bruin guy saw him, and they were going to hire him. But then he left, and he wound up working in the NFL, working for like the Vikings and the Chiefs and the Oilers. And there was a rule made because he was too loud enticing the fans that they couldn't have. They remember like in 89 or whatever, like the NFL had these weird rules about like being loud in like the Metrodome and all that.
Because it got so loud.
It got so loud. And it was this guy who was leading these crazy chants. Well, it turns out that he was the first recorded wave in 1981 with the Oakland A's against the New York Yankees. On October 15th, 1981, was the first televised wave led by this guy, Crazy George Henderson.
How do you get everyone to know what to do? Like, I don't really understand how it started.
Apparently, he started it at this hockey game, and he did it at the Colorado Rockies hockey game, the year before in 1980, and he tried it, and it wasn't televised. And apparently, one section kind of caught on what he was doing, and it just steamrolled from there, and that was a year before the first televised one.
I guess my question is, and you don't know the answer, is what happened what he intended to happen?
I don't think so. No, it wasn't. Because like, based on the one
he just said, like,
about,
hey, everybody put their hands up, and then the guy next door is like, I'm going to put my hands up, and then all of a sudden,
and it just kind of cascaded.
Wow, that sounds like a 30 for 30, by
and it
way.
Was a 30 for 30, to be honest with you.
What,
that
the,
was my
the
next
wave?
Thing. Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I gotta watch it.
Yeah, and then they gotta do, and then the, and then they're, like I said, they're doing the miniseries on Glenn Burke, who's first openly gay. Baseball. I never even heard of him.
Yeah, I gotta look that up too. A lot of stuff to do.
High-five Dusty Baker, man.
Yeah, that's cool. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman, and of course, this is another scintillating edition of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Please watch on YouTube, share it, and enjoy it. We'll see you next time.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch.
Did he have any hot sauce?
Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!